When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey there, welcome to The Tent. I'm your host, Scott Feldman, and it's time for yet another foray into the world of aquariums from a slightly different perspective. They, whoever they are, say that there's no sure things in aquarium keeping, and on the surface, I'm inclined to agree. However, there are some things that you can do that will simply tempt the aquarium gods to kick your ass more than others, trust me. Things that seem normal, but when you go below the shiny surface, have tempting fate written all over them. Over my lifetime as a fish keeper, I've experienced some of them, as no doubt you have. Here's a few things, as experienced by myself and others, that you'll no doubt find can lead to exceptionally bad outcomes if you're not careful and try one of these risky maneuvers with your aquarium. In no particular order, here they are. Number one, never move just a couple of rocks or that one driftwood branch around your aquarium within, say, an hour of going to sleep at night. Particularly on a weeknight or before a morning when you just have to wake up early or catch a flight or whatever, trust me, you won't be getting restful sleep anytime soon. It's almost a certainty that moving even one rock, one piece of wood with the intention of opening up space or making a minor tweak will lead you to pulling out a dozen rocks or even the whole damn aquascape before the job is done, which could take hours and hours without completion. In fact, the job may not be done for days. At some point, after numerous attempts to correct things, you'll throw in the towel and just try to make things the way they were before you started this whole futile endeavor. And guess what? You'll never be able to recreate what you had before. Total bummer, which will take hours and hours to correct. Just don't do it. Trust me. It's a sure thing. Here's another one. Changing settings on your lighting. Now with LEDs pretty much being the dominant form of lighting for most aquariums, definitely for the reef aquarium and more for freshwater, changing light settings or even lighting systems before like a trip. This is one that's like the kiss of death. I mean, really? Changing lights is no big deal, right? Oh, trust me, it is. Especially when the new system and the new settings are different. Like if you're changing formats even from like compact fluorescent or something or whatever you're using to LED, for example, not only will the plants or corals, if you're a reefer, react a bit differently than you expect, they'll undoubtedly demonstrate their apparent displeasure at the worst possible time, like when you're away, and you may come back to a disaster in the making or worse. Yeah, it really happens. Don't ask me why, but it's nerve-wracking enough to just doing a change when you're, you know, going to be home. But if you're leaving town, be ready to replace some plants or corals upon your return. That's just the reality of it. Yikes. Don't even want to think about it. Here's another one for you, especially more sophisticated freshwater people and then reefers. If you're tweaking like lighting settings or, and by lighting settings, I mean durations, or if you're tweaking, if you have a controller or a monitor, if you tweak that, big problem. Or for that matter, just installing a controller. Oh, sure, controllers add timers and all that stuff. They're great tools for aquarium management, and I think highly of them. But tweaking settings must be done, A, very early in the day, on a day when you're not going anywhere, B, for only one or two parameters at a time, like, I don't know, temperature, maybe the duration of your lighting, and C, never within 2 days of leaving on any kind of trip. Are you sensing a theme here? Well, it is summer, right? Bad idea, really bad, to make any kind of controller change before leaving town. Inevitably, you'll realize that you had the wrong start time for your lights or forgot to properly program the max intensity time or whatever. The upside is that most of the better controllers and even some timers now allow you to correct or tweak remotely, which is good and bad. If you're OCD, you'll be constantly playing with it. Again, controllers, good. Changing things on controllers when you don't have time to monitor, bad. Don't do it. Turning the flow adjustment on your filter output, power heads, or electronically controlled water pumps because you want to make a quick adjustment, bad idea. You are so screwed. I mean, there's no such thing as a quick adjustment to these things, regardless of the brand or quality. And trust me, I've had them all over the years. No matter what you think, they're totally finicky and a sure ticket to headaches when you're in a hurry, or even when you aren't, right? The same caution applies to making adjustments to your CO2 solenoid or the feed valve on a reactor or an air water mix on a protein skimmer. Ridiculously small adjustments are the only way to go. I mean, almost non-existent changes. Air water mix ratios, chemical feeds, and other dynamics can just get screwed over so easily it's not even funny. Subtlety and time are everything with these kind of changes. If you rush them, have plenty of Tylenol or your other pain reliever of choice available, because it's a virtual certainty that headaches will be waiting for you when you're done, especially if you're going out of town, continuing the theme. Here's another one. Taking a chance on that fish that was the perfect citizen in your buddy's tank. I mean, are you freaking kidding me? Seriously. No. It's a virtual guarantee that, say, the innocuous little cichlid that resided in your buddy's 200-gallon assorted Mbuna tank for 4 years without incident will suddenly develop a great appetite for your little guys. Your really rare pricey ones, typically. And I mean, you could practically take that to the bank. It's the same with saltwater fish. That innocuous little angel or damsel will turn into a terror, and you won't be able to get them out. You can adjust this little rule for almost any kind of fish. Catfishes, betas, whatever. And especially goes for reef tanks, like the anemone that your buddy offered you, the one that never moved in your friend's reef tank. Ask yourself, if the animal's such a model citizen, why the hell is he getting rid of it? Prepare for knocked over corals or worse. Why on earth reefers even think of tempting fate by trying these sorts of additions is beyond me sometimes, especially what? When you're about to leave town. Another one that I think is ludicrous, no matter what kind of fish you're keeping, is skipping quarantine with that new addition. This isn't just superstition talking. It's firmly grounded in reality. Skipping quarantine with one fish can open up your entire system to limitless numbers of diseases or other maladies that can create dire consequences for your tank. You know this, of course, totally not worth it. Quarantine's a vital, logical practice that's employed by every public aquarium on the planet and scores of successful hobbyists and businesses elsewhere. Elsewhere, as if there's another planet keeping fishes. Oh, okay. But you know what I mean. You're definitely playing Russian roulette with your aquarium if you skip this practice. Even if you know the source, if you've observed this fish repeatedly at the store or in its prior owner's tank, it's just not worth it. Trust me, totally not worth it. Here's another absolute for you. This doesn't involve going out of town. Going to a club auction with the intention of just checking stuff out. I mean, please, seriously, I've spoken at literally hundreds of clubs over the past 15, 20 years, freshwater, saltwater, and everything in between. And if you're a member of one of these clubs, you have just about guaranteed, when you say that you're going to leave with bags full of something. In fact, you'll probably leave with bags full of several somethings. Club auctions and coral frag swaps are irresistible to fish geeks, and the generosity of hobbyists, it's well documented, right? Oh, you're new to this, or you've never kept this? Here, have a few of these Akara fry. They're really not mean at all, and they're super easy to keep. Can't lose. Oh, do you want some Pulsine Zinnia? It's great stuff. You're going to end up with tons and tons of stuff. Even if you didn't bring money, you'll leave with way more than you intended. I've seen numerous times where hobbyists even ended up borrowing from their teenage kids or whatever to grab a bag of fish because he was determined not to tempt, you know, him or herself by bringing the cash to the event. So my advice, if you're attending a club auction, just give in. Bring cash, bring a cooler, bring a teenager for that matter. Leave restraint at home. Okay, so that was just a very quick rundown of sure things in the aquarium hobby. Yes, a lot of them have to do with leaving town and making changes. Others are just things you'll do that you can do anytime and still screw yourself up. I mean, there aren't that many certainties in this game. Well, are there? Well, I guess there are, but sure, I focused on a few with some potentially bad consequences. There's no doubt countless others with the possibility of better outcomes, but it's far more fun to highlight the bad ones, wasn't it? I think so. So next time you hear someone say it's a guarantee or a sure thing, take it with a grain of salt. Stay cautious, stay respectful, stay skeptical, stay careful, and always stay wet. Until next time, this is Scott Feldman from 10N Aquatics. Thanks for spending part of your day with me. I look forward to seeing you on the next installment of The Tint.